This is a replay of the Thursday night, November 30th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe. It's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together, so the Raleigh James I Hate the Holidays Club is in full order here. And of course, as I've mentioned many times, I don't particularly, but it's a safe haven for those of you who at best it's ho-ho-hum, or worse. And so we promise only to play Christmas songs if I happen to love one. And other than Gee Whiz, It's Christmas by Carla Thomas, I can't think of any. And worry not, I'm not playing it tonight. So with that in mind, you can continue to vote on your guilty pleasures. Now, those are the songs that had to be hits, big hits, but you just love them. You turn up the radio, you just sing along with them. You think they're just the greatest ever, but you will do anything. Well, your secret is safe with me to keep others from finding out what it is. Well, tell us, because this is the poll you requested after the world's worst hit records. You wanted guilty pleasures, so we'll do it to it. And right now, we've had a lot of suggestions and votes, I should say, nominations, and many of them have been seconded, but we are nowhere near a consensus on a list at this point, and that will likely take till, just before Christmas. But Christmas night, it'll be a live show, and we'll maybe play them back or at least have fun talking about them. So that's the deal there. Other than that, here we are in the in the Christmas spirit. I'm seeing the decorations everywhere, and it's interesting that there are a number of entities that actually spend time and money calculating just exactly how much we're going to decorate. You know, talk about a pursuit not worth doing, but nonetheless they did. And according to the biggie on this, and I'll explain him in a moment, but it is 83% of us are going to decorate in some way. And we have lists by state, for instance, and Illinois somewhere in the middle, nowhere near the top or the bottom. But interesting that most people are going to decorate, but they're going to spend less money doing it. Now, I have another survey. They're going to spend less money tipping, that's for sure. And apparently tipping fatigue is becoming a thing, especially with the iPad and such checkout schemes where you just, do it online there at the cash register. And it invariably asks, you know, what tip do you want to leave? 15%, 20%, 25%. Maybe you're just getting an order to go and you're thinking, well, nothing. But it turns out it's pretty darn effective for over 43%. They're guilted into leaving something. But the days might be numbered because, as I'm saying, surveys say that as inflation keeps rising and dollars keep tightening, that fewer and fewer people are at least publicly saying that, yeah, I'm going to continue to tip in all situations. And again, where you draw the line on whether to tip or not tip has never really been fully black and white, but it was a lot more set in stone than it is now. So we'll talk about that too. So here it is, looking at history, the end of November, tomorrow, December 1st, and that's the 70th anniversary of Playboy, right in Chicago. And I'm sure you're aware, Hugh Hefner and the first cover girl, Marilyn Monroe. So, you know, that's not unusual, but 70 years. Yeah, Somehow it just doesn't seem that long. All right, 888-876-5593. And James on the South Side gives us links. And when I say gives us links, I literally am talking in the thousands. I am not exaggerating. I don't know. First thing I want to know, James, is do you actually read all these stories? James. Have we lost James? Oh, no. Well, I don't know. I don't know what to say about that. He put him on hold and try it again, but I think he's not there. Probably digging up more stories. Are you there, James? No, he's not. All right. Well, so be it. He'll call back, I'm sure, because as usual, it was a plethora of stories, particularly people behaving badly or at least inexplicably. So all that and more, but your votes and whatever's on your mind coming up right here on WGN Radio.
He took 100 pounds of clay, and then he said, "Hey, listen, I'm gonna fix this world today, because I know what's missing." Then he rolled his big sleeves up, and a brand new world began. He created a woman and a lots of loving for a man. Whoa, yes he did. With just 100 pounds of clay, he made my life worth living, and I will thank him every day for every kiss you're giving.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is 100 pounds of clay, and it's not the original 45. In fact, I think I've got a New Year's resolution. I got to clean some of this up. So I don't know. I loaded a ton of stuff on this computer over the years and obviously didn't pay close attention if it was on CD. That's for damn sure, because that's a re-sing if there ever was. But nonetheless, Marianne wanted to hear 100 pounds of clay, and that's as close as we're going to get tonight. And that was 1961 on Liberty. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888-Raleigh. And so I was mentioning the Christmas spirit. Most of you are decorating this year, maybe spending a little less, but decorating. And according to those who survey this stuff, really makes you wonder, doesn't it? 79% of us are decorating a Christmas tree. Now, I have no idea if they whittled this down into Christians, you know, which is another factor too, because I don't know how many people of other faith are you know, going to put up a shrub of some sort. But however they did it, they say that 83% of Americans, as I mentioned before, are doing something decorating-wise for the holidays, with 79% decorating a tree, which apparently is the most common decoration, as you would expect. But they also split it down by state, which was interesting, and per capita, needless to say. Otherwise, it would be obvious what was what. But apparently, the most frenzied when it comes to decorating are Vermont residents, and most of them go for the tree. Wyoming is in second place, and the big decoration there is Santa. Delaware and Rhode Island come in third and fourth, and they go with window candle. And the first thing I'm thinking is, call the fire department. But nonetheless, nativity scenes for North Dakota are fifth most popular. Alaska likes Santa as well. New Hampshire goes for that window candle. Yeah, so Delaware, Rhode Island, New Hampshire, I'm telling you, going to burn down. Well, so who is the least likely to decorate? Oklahoma. And when they do, Christmas lights. Minnesota right behind that in 49th place, going for the snowman. California behind it, and that with the mistletoe. So you're saying, where exactly did Illinois? And I've got cities too to some degree, but Illinois 37th on the list, going for the snowman. Surrounding states, sure, I can probably figure that out fairly quickly. Let's see, where's Wisconsin on this list? And apparently not too high up. And Indiana, we'll look at that too. But so far, I don't see him. I see West Virginia. Yeah, right. Who cares? Okay, so, Wisconsin, 34th. All right. In Illinois, 37th. So kind of the same. Wisconsinites go for the gingerbread. Yeah. Indiana's right behind Illinois at 38th place going for the Christmas tree. I'm looking to see if there's anything odd. The window candle actually struck me as a little odd just because of the proclivity for the house to burn down. Arizona had the candy cane, and I don't think anybody else picked that. But, you know, it's kind of hard in places like Arizona or Florida or places where you don't get snow to really do it upright. But Christmas trees nationwide, number one, the lights, of course, come in second, then the mistletoe. Gingerbread is fourth, followed by snowman, garland, stocking, wreaths, the candy cane, and nativity is in last place. So, as far as cities, who's decorating cities-wise? The number one is Las Vegas. Gee, what a shock, right? going for the stocking as their decoration. Now, I'm looking to see where Chicago comes in at 28th with the snowman, right? Indianapolis, Christmas lights at 19th place. So, interesting. And it is, of course, you'd expect Las Vegas to be number one. But what follows that? Baltimore with Christmas lights, Denver with a mistletoe, and Portland and Seattle both with Christmas trees. Now you know. 888-876-5593. That is going to take us to Jan in Dallas. How's it going, Jan?
Oh, it's going really well now. I just happened to sit down, and there was 100 pounds of clay.
Yes.
So you've got a couple of people out there who love it. Just wanted to thank you and enjoy Thanksgiving and everything.
Oh, good.
So,
yeah. So are you ready to confess some guilty pleasure songs?
I don't feel guilty about them.
Really? Not about any of them? None of, you know, I would assume that when I say feel guilty about them, it's people who love something that is so against their, you know, their self-image, so to speak, or what they think they should like that they're saying, oh, I don't know if I want to admit this. But you'll admit them all, huh?
I know, because I thought about that the way you said it, and I kept thinking about it, and I go, good grief, I don't feel guilty at all.
Good for you.
There's something wrong with me.
No, I think that's terrific. You got good self-esteem there, and everybody else be damned. It's okay if you like it. Yeah. Right.
Oh, is that what that means?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, well, thank you, and thank you and John for being there.
Absolutely, and thanks for calling. I appreciate it, Jan.
Okay.
All
bye
right.
Bye.
Good deal. So yes, indeed. No, well, I guess if you have that strong self-image and constitution, you'd say, you know, I don't care what you think. I like it. But, you know, I kind of shudder when I mention, I love I've been to town. Yeah. And my favorite version is Glen Yarborough. I know. I don't normally say that out loud. Yeah. Or The World I Used to Know. Jimmy Rogers. Yeah, I hesitate to bring these up. So, but I just did. I know, but hey, you don't know where I live. All right, so, Fran and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
I love The World I Used to Know. I think that's a great song.
Well, sure, but you know, Rod McEwen wrote it. Who wants to admit that one of their favorite records is written by Rod McEwen?
I hate to admit that I sometimes like some of his stuff.
I know, not the Mud Kids, but a number of other things, yes.
No, but, you know, I like some of that stuff, but...
Yeah.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people, like you were just talking about, not only do you not like it, but it goes against who you think of yourself to be. Or
exactly.
You want to put forward to the world.
Yeah.
And the ones I hate to admit to liking the most are the real sappy sentimental.
Uh-huh. I can see that.
Because that is the stuff that I always put down. I mean, you know, if somebody says something that smacks too sentimental to me, I'm just like, you know, come. I have to make, you know, a smart alecky comment. It just, I have to.
Yeah.
It's just like breathing, you know.
Well, exactly.
And it gets me in a lot of trouble. But, you know, I do like some sappy songs, and those are the ones that I hate to admit. But the thing that gets me is people who don't like to admit that they like funny songs.
Well, yeah, I can see that. Now, I will say that on a lot of them, a lot of the novelties, if they really got a lot of airplay, after a while, you're kind of gritting your teeth while you hear it again for the 9,832nd time, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, well, that's what happened with Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny
right.
And, you know, some of those.
Oh, tell me... You know, it's funny you mention ITZY because years ago I used to write and produce the syndicated show, Soundtrack of the 60s. And Murray the K was the host. And I took it over because it hadn't even started production yet and they were already 4 weeks behind. I'm not making that up. And so Tom Rounds had come to me and said, you know, we're 4 weeks behind. I said, well, that's unforgivable because you're talking about charts that are years old. You don't have to wait for breaking news. And so he said, can you get it on track? And I said, yeah, and everybody will hate me, but I can do this. And so I did it for 6 months and I got him a month ahead. But the thing was, Tom had set the criteria for the show. And at the end of the show, he always wanted to play back the number one, two, and three songs of that date in history. Now, there were a couple things wrong with this theory. Number one is that they didn't change that much week to week if something was number one or for 4 weeks and then number two and number three. But the worst part of it is the show debuted in June of 1980. And what was the number one song in 1960? Itsy bitsy teeny weeny. And I had to play that thing for probably 10 weeks of this show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous to do.
It was.
But that close together like that.
There were so many ridiculous things.
Nothing really changes in a week.
Right, right. Yeah. And that was ill thought, to say the least. But the other thing is, it was a show based on triplets. Like, there were three songs back to back that would all be of the same theme. You know, okay, fine. And I could handle that. But the problem was that he's no longer with us, and Tom Rounds was a great guy, and I miss him. But he was one of these whiter than the whitest white man kind of guy. And, you know, he said, you can't play two black artists back to back. Well, all right, I disagreed, but hey, you know.
Why?
Here's the best part. I remember he called me out saying, you see, you've done it. That's two black artists back to back. I said, one of them is Dionne Warwick. That is not a black artist. And, you know, I tried to explain to him that, you know, if he's going to make a distinction, make the distinction in the sound of the song, not the color of the artist.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
I couldn't believe it. And I mean, I won my point, but I literally was shrieking and throwing things before I did.
So. Yes, it's interesting because you can't go by that because I can't tell you how many times I have been surprised to find out, you know, that an artist I thought was black was white or vice versa.
See, and I never thought about it, you know, because I mean, hey,
all
the records were black.
I don't think about it that
way, right.
But, you know, it's kind of like...
But, you know,
I
couldn't,
right.
But I couldn't imagine taking, you know, somebody like a Tommy Edwards or whatever, and you know, even you know, so many. Anyway,
right,
John said, hang on. So, right. Hang on.
Yeah.
I see John making all sorts of faces. So I think it's time for the news. Don't go away.
Okay.
All right. So we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and come right back to it on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Riley James, and that is Little Eva. Yeah, The Trouble with Boys. You can't vote for it as your guilty pleasure because it wasn't a hit, but it was released on Dimension in 1963. Jerry Goffin did the lyrics, but Carole King did not do the music. It was Jack Keller who did the music on that. And, of course, Lil Ebo was part of that wonderful Rockin' Thanksgiving in Pittsburgh this week in 1963, 60 years ago this week. Two shows, 8 and 10:30, at the Syria Mosque. Yeah, with everybody. We mentioned that Bobby V and the Jeanettes and Brian Hyland and Linda Scott and the Dixie Bells, Dale and Grace, Lou Christie, Paul and Paula, Lil Ebo, the Times, the Ronettes, Jimmy Clanton, the Dobells, the Essex. And it would set you back $1.50. I know, eat your heart out. All right, so we were back to Fran, and I have to tell you, during the news, John came in here and confessed his guilty pleasure. I can't believe it. I might have to reassess a lot of things. His guilty pleasure is, yeah, ABBA, Dancing Queen.
You know what?
Don't tell me.
You might not ever talk to me again, but I agree with him. I like this.
Okay. All right. Yeah, yeah, you guys and Art Bell. All right, please. Man, oh, man.
And, let's see. Gary's going, ugh.
Yeah, I'm with him, Gary. You're after my own heart there, yeah. Oh,
and then one of the things that almost split up our relationship is I like Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Oh, Bobby McFerrin. Well, like I said, I've said it many times, I have to like, and any pop song that can use the word litigate is good with me.
Yeah, well, I said, you know, it's totally tongue-in-cheek.
Well, obviously.
And, you know, to me, and that's why I like it, because it's just,
yeah,
you know, okay, so the world's falling apart, don't worry, be happy.
Yeah,
you know,
right, right.
Don't think too, you know, don't think, you know, just kind of roll with it.
Well,
you know,
of course.
I love it. I think it's just funny, but Jerry hates it.
He's a serious musician doing, like, classical concerts and stuff like that, so of course it was tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, yeah, and I like to, you know, some of his, like, the body percussion stuff that he used and, you know.
Yeah.
I actually have a CD of his here somewhere.
All right. All right. You just play it when you're alone.
Yeah, pretty much. Or, or if I want time alone, I've learned that.
Well, hey, that would work,
alone,
yes.
All I got to do is put on the Four Seasons or, you know.
You could probably clear out the entire hallway. Absolutely.
I probably could. And, let's see. We're talking about really sad ones that I like.
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to think of. Oh, you don't send me flowers anymore.
No, you don't. You don't. Oh, no.
I do.
Oh, but God, no. Okay. No.
It makes me cry.
Yeah, well, me too in a different way. But oh, oh
Gary just said, help.
Yeah, right, exactly. Exactly. Oh, my God. Oh, God. And, you know, that combines the worst of the worst. We're talking about Barbra Streisand and Neil Diamond.
Yes. Yes, I know. I knew that would blow your mind.
Well, and, you know, there's a production director who shall remain nameless, mostly because I don't know his name, and it's a damn good thing, at WAKY in Louisville, who actually put that together originally. And it's like, God, God.
I mean, I know how bad it is.
Yeah.
That's the thing about it. I know how bad it is.
Hey, you know, I mean, I don't mind Treat Him Nicely by Annette, so I don't plan to play it, but I never mind. So, you know, and Why, you hate Why, I know you hate Why by, what's his name? I can't think of his name, you know, the kid from Philadelphia.
Why? Because I
Yeah, right, right. Right, exactly. The guy who did Venus. Avalon, Frankie Avalon. All right, yeah, I know you hated Why, but I didn't mind Why. So,
but in fact, it was funny because I remember mentioning it because I was like, I'm sitting here listening to KJ and I'm thinking, has Raleigh lost her mind?
I did.
Is this KJ?
I did not. Wait a minute. I did not play You Don't Send Me Flowers anymore.
No. You said played Why.
Oh, yeah, Why. Yeah, absolutely. I like Why. I'm willing to play that. But, yeah, if I played You Don't Send Me Flowers Anymore, I'm going down there tonight to rip apart that automation, as, you know, before the night is over.
No. I guarantee you, I've never heard that cross.
No.
Any
no, God,
of
no.
Yours.
Yeah.
Not even on the... Maybe it made the 10 worse. That would be the only way.
Well,
it's
gotten a lot of votes, but I don't think it's actually made. I'll have to check all the lists again, but I think it's come close too many times.
But I think some things, and I'm making excuses for myself, and I'll stick to it. But I think that sometimes we like things because of what was happening in our lives at that time. And that was, that song was really important to me at that time. And so still when I hear it, I cry. But I know how terrible it is.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to remember what time that was. So, yeah, that was just who? And you know, by the way, it was released country before it was ever released pop. But yeah.
Oh, I could definitely see that as a country song.
Yeah, right. And of course, you know, Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand released it separately. It was that dreaded person at Wacky who combined them. And yeah, I don't know what happened to him. It's probably just as well. But yeah, what year was that?
I'm trying to think now.
No, I think I was at Billboard.
Was it late 70s?
I think it might have been early 80s, but let me see. I keep coming up with the Barbara Streisand version and the Neil Diamond version as opposed to together. And yeah, too painful to consider, I guess, but
yeah.
Oh god. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it was while I was at Billboard, because that's why I knew who you know, the culprit at the time. But let's see. It was just horrible. Let's see. What do we get? We get Barbara Streisand, but then Neil Diamond and Barbara Streisand. All right, well, tell me the year, why don't you? No, you're just going to get, you're going to give me a YouTube clip of it, and I'm not going to listen.
They don't want to, no, you don't want to look at that, no.
No, I don't, but there's, yeah, this is painful. It could have been late 70s, but whatever it was, I'm glad you were having a good time. This would have ruined my entire year. I can't remember.
No, I was having a horrible time. Oh.
And that's why you like it? Oh, good.
Oh. Well, because, I don't know, it was, you know, just going. It's one of those songs you play when you're having a pity party.
Yeah, well, Neil Diamond wrote it. With the Bergmans, actually, who did decent work coming up with English lyrics for a lot of bossa nova stuff. But apparently it was originally in some TV show. But now, when did they get it together? So, 77, Diamond released it. 78, Barbara Streisand. Now, here is the guy. I think it was, it was Gary Guthrie was his name. And he's the one who spliced it together. This would be 78.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Now, but here's what's interesting. Roy Leonard on WGN actually did a version as well. And Roy's no longer around to defend himself, so I won't say a word. But he did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So he left us in 2014. And but he did his own, and hopefully that will remain unplayed. His producer at the time was Peter Marino. But yeah, it was Gary Guthrie. Oh God. And there was a smarmy story about it, like he was in the middle of a divorce or about to get divorced, you know, one of those kind of things. So sort of like you saying,
mm-hmm.
bad
yep.
time. Yeah. Well, why do all these people who are having bad times foist it on us, the rest of us? Yeah. We're the unsuspecting unknowing. You know, this is just
I know.
Fun. Yeah.
And then we actually listened to it.
Well, you did.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I'm at, you know.
You know, Record World Magazine no longer exists, and it's probably just as well, because they said it was the song that's perfect for both vocalists. Well, on some level, I'd agree with them, but not for the reasons that they think. And it was interesting. I think Gary Guthrie actually had to sue CBS to get some of the royalties when they actually put it out. So, and he got something, I think. I don't know whatever happened to him. It's probably just as well. He left us with "You Don't Bring Me Flowers Anymore." All right.
And, oh, God.
What else?
Another hook-a-took-a my soda cracker.
Oh, my God. Yes, Chubby Checky.
I thought.
Well,
like
it could
anything.
Be... It could be worse. I think the flip side is Lottie Lowe.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Both of them kind of in the same vein.
Yeah, does your mama char tobacco? If your mama char tobacco. Yeah, right.
Tobacco. It took my soda cracker.
Yeah. God. What were they thinking at Parkway?
I think they must have consulted someone like me who was how old at the time, 3 or 4?
Yeah, but, you know, here's Bernie Lowe, you know, an otherwise self-respecting resident of Wincote, Pennsylvania. It was not like he was from Alabama. Where did they come up with this?
But I just remember singing it when I was a little girl, and it makes me happy to think of that.
Well, very good. Yeah, I think that was about 63.
Yeah, I was about 7.
All right. Well, there you are.
So. You know, so it's all those old. And then there are all the songs that I liked when I was a teenager that now I can't. I'm thinking, you know, what was I thinking? You know, and I don't put them on this list because I don't like them now. But I would be ashamed to admit that I ever did like them. So, like Sugar Sugar by the Archies.
All right. So you're
I
not...
could still put that on there. I don't like it anymore.
Well, if you don't like it anymore, it's fine to say you grew up. That's okay. We won't.
Yeah. But, you know, I can hear it now without cringing.
You know, Chubby Checker co-wrote Hookatooka, which is really frightening. Yeah.
So. Oh, my God. Uh-huh. I don't know whether it was, you know, I thought, was it taken from some...
No, I don't
kiddie,
think so.
You know, kiddie song or nursery rhyme thingy or something like that.
I don't think so. I really don't think so. Barry Mann co-wrote Lottie Lowe, but he wrote it with Dave Apple from Parkway. But I gotta find out more about who, because apparently Chubby co-wrote it, and Mazur, with some guy Mazur. I gotta find him. What's his problem? All right, very good choice.
And I like Name Game. That's the last one I'll throw in tonight.
Okay, very good. Very good. Name Game.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Let's do Chuck. All right, very good. All right, so I appreciate it.
If you don't speak to me tomorrow, I'll know why.
No. Well, tomorrow's Friday. I won't speak to you, but I hopefully will on Monday.
That's right, you won't. Okay.
Right. Hopefully will on Monday, and we'll talk then.
I get this whole week mixed up.
All right, yeah, well, that's it. It's the holidays. Blame it on that.
I will.
All right.
Blame everything on the holidays for now.
That's
all right.
It. Thanks. Appreciate it. All right. So there you have it. We'll get songs from Elizabeth in Rock Falls. Yes, and find out about Mr. Chubbs and Marianna Chicago. And James called back. All right. We're going to do stories next hour. I can tell. All that and more coming up on WGN Radio. Your loony friend just made a pass at me. Perhaps you might enjoy a cottage by the sea. So pack your toys away, your pretty boys away, and your 45s away, your alibis away, your silly lies away, your roadside dies away, your one more tries away. WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Bette Midler. In fact, it's the only record by Bette Midler I like, but I love it. She turned 78 years old tomorrow, born in Honolulu when it was a territory in 1945, so happy, happy. She co-wrote that with Carol Bayer Sager, and Carol Bayer Sager had a version of it as well, sounding very much the same as this, but I thought it was just a fine little record. So 888-876-5593, 8888-RALEIGH. And let's see, Elizabeth is in Rock Falls. So how is Mr. Chubbs?
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes.
Well, he hasn't lost much weight. That's about all I can say about him.
You're feeding him. But
I'm trying not to, but, you know, I'm stuck home with a cold or something this week, and so I've been making about 12 trips to the kitchen, and, of course, he's right along with me.
Of course.
So not helping each other.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I have to say I like ABBA. ABBA, whatever it is, the winner takes it all. That's not on my list, but since you mentioned them, I like that.
Okay.
And I like the chemistry between Neil and Barbara in the video for the Don't Bring Me Flowers.
Okay.
But now here are my songs. Now, you'll probably puke. First, Too Much Heaven by the Bee Gees.
Bee Gees.
I think it was number one in 1979.
Okay.
They were making the comeback or something.
All right. Good enough.
Elvis.
What else?
Elvis, are you lonesome tonight?
Oh, if you are, serves you right. I'm so happy you left me at last. Okay, very good.
Roy Orbison, You Got It.
Okay.
And my late husband loved Roy Orbison. I guess that's why I like this song so much.
All right.
And Johnny Cash, I Walk the Line.
Okay.
One more.
All right.
Or All We Know from the Carpenters.
Oh, God. All right. That's certainly worthy for this. All right. So we found you. Somebody we found who likes For All We Know. All right. Good deal. All right. Well, give
a... Is that
give,
odd or something?
Well, no, it's just an awful record. But you see, that's what's beautiful about this. What you love, I hate, and vice versa. But you've ended the hour. Give Mr. Chubbs a big hug, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Rob.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Bye.
More of this coming up in moments, well, after the news anyway, on WGN Radio. Those are the Impressions. In fact, not only was Jerry Butler in them and singing on it, but he was co-writer of it as well. Gift of Love, 1958 on Abner, and that was one of the records that Jimmy P. requested the other night. And in fact, when I first saw Gift of Love, I was thinking of the other Gift of Love. You remember the Van Dykes?
She's 16 today. I do, my pockets are empty. I feel so blue. I know. I'll bring a gift of love. A gift of love. Soon I'll
So, not the same song, but a fine New York doo-wop song nonetheless. So 888-876-5593. We will be getting to James's stories this hour because there are just so many, but we have your votes as well and the Music Fairness Act, which we'll talk with about to Leah. So in the meantime, Paul in Buffalo Grove wants to add some songs. What you got for me, Paul?
Just one offhand because, you know, trying to think for a long time, I'm not really, like, songs that I like, I'm not really going to be too embarrassed to admit I like, but of course this was released in 1997. And at the time when it came out, to admit at that time for a man to like this song kind of would have been uncool. But right now I don't really care. I think it's a great song, and I don't care who cares if they know if I like it now or not. As far as being a hit, it reached number one in 12 countries, including the USA, so it was definitely a hit. It was nominated for 2 Grammys. But the reason it might be kind of weird for a man to say, oh, that's really a great song, is like, what are you talking about? because it was recorded by a bunch of kids aged 11, 14, and 16. And the name of it was called Mmbop, M-M-M-B-O-P, by Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
You heard that one?
Yep, yep,
absolutely. Oh, you know that one?
Yes, absolutely.
I had it already in case people didn't know what it was.
Oh, yeah, no,
I
absolutely do. And, you know, kids singing stuff is not necessarily terrible. In the 80s, I liked Pass the Dutchie, so I'm willing to admit it. So, yeah, you betcha.
But this one has got the really cool chorus coming up here. So it's kind of like a 90s doo-wop.
Yeah. Well, it's very much teeny bubblegummy, but catchy, and so that's fine. If you like it, good enough for me.
Yeah, figure I'll get that out there. Maybe there's going to be a couple other people are going to recognize that now and vote for it.
Yeah, well, no, it was a big hit.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a hit. But, you know, again, one of those things. It's the only thing I can think of where people would be kind of like embarrassed to admit they like it because there's a bunch of kids singing it.
Oh, well. It sounds but, you know, it, too, but that's
they
all right.
Like another version later when they were a little bit older. I'd like to see them do one, like, currently. It would be kind of nice.
Well,
as their
yeah.
voices mature more.
What, wonder what happened to them. I did not keep up with them. Did you?
Yeah, well, like I said, there was a later version that they had made.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that comes up here enough.
But... But, yeah, in fact, you'll be surprised to know that I actually have that song on my hard drive right here.
Oh, you do?
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know.
Is this a live performance then? What year is this? I don't know what year this is. They're not much older. Well, they're like, they look like they're maybe in their 20s.
Well, sure. You know, remember 1997? We're that's 25 years ago, more than that, 26
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah, that's so. Why I like to hear one currently. So, I should have found one that was from the most recent, but
Well, now I want to know what happened to those kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if there's any follow up online. Hanson, all grown up, and dads of 15.
Yeah.
Hey, wow! How about that? Yes, 25 years since Mbop would have been last year, and Tulsa, Oklahoma, Hanson brothers Isaac, Taylor, and Zach are gathering their combined 15 children, ranging from ages 1 to 19, to smile for the camera. They were in people.
Yeah.
So how about that? So that's...
Also, I was kind of curious. I have a... I've never requested songs before. I know you're particular about the songs, and I... I'm just going to try and experiment here. I got a few that are a little bit different than normally played, but I'm wondering if you'd like them or not. One of them, Flashlight by Parliament.
You know, I do like Parliament, not necessarily that, but I would play that, sure.
I love that bass riff on the keyboard that they
okay.
do on that one.
All right.
It's like the best part of that song. Then Ain't Nobody by Rufus and Chaka Khan.
Okay.
Now, there's one called 40 Cups of Coffee, but I'm not sure what the guy's name is offhand.
That's been done by a lot of people.
Huh?
That's been done by several people.
Yeah, I know. When I look it up, it said Ella Mae Morse, but that's not the
right.
one I'm thinking of. It was
well,
a guy.
Oh, because Ella Mae Morse is the famous version, of course, but several people.
Yeah, what was the guy's name? I'll probably know it if I hear it.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I know that Ella Mae Morse was like the early 50s, but there were several people who did that. Well, I can
look
at
the one. I heard that one. I didn't like that one. I like the guy, one the other guy does.
Okay, well, let's go to secondhand songs, because I'm sure 40 Cups of Coffee is going to be in that.
Yeah.
And it'll tell us everybody who recorded it to a degree. They're not infallible, but we'll get a bunch of them. All right, so... interesting. All right. And Ella Mae Morse was not the first. 10 different versions of this. Maybe one of them is the one you like. We've got the first one was King Colex, and that'd be 53. Ella Mae Morse, 53. Les Brown, 53. Sid Phillips, 54. Betty Miller was the vocalist. Bill Haley did it. Oh, God. 40 Cups of Coffee by Bill Haley. Then Lisa Otey. Jennifer Keith, the Rhythm Rockets, Linda Rose and T Street, and Ruby and the Mystery Cats. Could it possibly have been Bill Haley?
No, I'm wondering if it was Les Brown.
Okay, there was a female on that, though. The vocalist for Les Brown was Joanne Greer.
Wait a minute.
And Betty Miller with Sid Phillips. So now, the original, the King Kolaks, that had a male vocalist. That was Danny Overy.
Yeah, but that wasn't it. I found it one time, and I played a little bit on YouTube. And
how old do you think it would have been?
See, I don't know anything about the year. I had heard it only like a couple of weeks ago. On,
all right. Well, the Rhythm Rockets, US 2.
And then, like, when I tried looking for it, all I kept finding was this LMA version.
No. Yeah, because that was the big one. But I wonder about the Rhythm Rockets. I'm kind of leaning toward that for you. But
no, because when I played it, it was listed by, you know, one man's name. Why can't I?
Oh, it was listed by somebody's name? Okay.
Yeah, you know, that's why I'm wondering if Les Brown or if somebody else.
Let's see.
I thought I would recognize it when I heard it, the name, I guess.
Here's a Rhythm Rocket, but I think it's going to be a female, too. We'll see. Okay, that's female, too, so we'll rule that out. I'd hate to think it was the Bill Haley version, but that's what's coming up for males. God, that's painful. But I remember
yes,
that.
Yes, yeah, I'm trying to... no, it wasn't. No, it definitely wasn't him.
Yeah, here was his birthday. Pace the floor, stop and stare. I drink a cup of coffee, start to pulling out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee. Now, what I'm wondering, like I say, Danny Overby did the original version, and he wrote it. Could it be that far back?
Who? What was his name?
Danny Overby. He was with King...
I wonder if that's what it is.
He was with King Kolaks.
That sounds like the familiar name. Danny?
Okay.
Yes, I think that's what it was. That's what
all right.
It was.
Well, that I can play. That came out on Checker. Nice Chicago label. And
That's the one. I remember when I played it. I'm like, because I was trying to find it, the one that I heard on the radio.
This would be.
I kept playing all these ones. When I played that one, I'm like, that's it.
I drink a cup of coffee and start to pulling out my hair. I drink 40 cups of coffee.
Definitely it.
Is that it?
That's definitely it.
I
like that version.
That's Danny Overby. That's the original with King Kolaks, and it was on Checker in 1953.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Because I heard that on, what was it, what's a college at DuPage?
Okay, well, that makes sense that it'd be on one of the
WDCB, that's what I heard on WDCB, okay. Which is, you know, kind of fit into their jazz format.
Okay.
And then one more song. How about this one? Hold On, I'm Coming, Sam and Dave.
Oh, sure, good song.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. I'm pretty glad I got some that you would play and not go, absolutely. No, I'm not playing that one.
No.
I hate that song.
No, Sam and Dave are great. They were great. Absolutely.
Awesome. Awesome. See, I'm trying to figure this out. I'm getting into the swing here, figuring out what's the right music and everything to fit into the format.
Well, all of them are acceptable on those four. None of them are like all-time favorites, but all of them are good, and I'll be happy to play them.
Wow. That's I was hoping at least for one to get through.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. Thanks.
Right. We'll do that for you, Paul. Keep listening.
All right.
Next week I'll get them on for you.
Okay, thank you very
much. Thanks. Appreciate it.
All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, but that Danny Overby, that was the original, even though LMA Morse is the better-known version. But Danny Overby, King Kolaks. Well, can't be bad. 888-876-5593 would be 8888. Raleigh, we'll get some more songs in. James, keep hanging on. We're going to get to your stories, I promise. And likewise for for Leah and the Music Fairness Act. Or was that the Music Unfairness Act? We'll talk about that coming up on WGN Radio.
Thank you. hoping that you and I could make it on through. But something went wrong. We loved each other, we just couldn't get along. Take a good look at me, I'm in misery. Can't you see what love
was a sweet love.
WGN Radio, I'm Riley James. Yes, Harold Melvin in the Blue Notes, and that also was Jimmy P's request, and good taste he has, and happy to play that. And that, of course, was, what label did that come out on? I'm doing this from memory. That Philadelphia International, of course. That'd be 1973. All right, so 888-876-5593. That's going to take us to Marianne in Chicago. Adding to our list, are you?
Yes, I... Okay. Sorry, yes, I am.
All right.
Thanks for Harold Melvin, by the way.
All right.
And thank you for 100 pounds of clay.
Yeah, my pleasure.
So are you guys ready to laugh at me, I'm sure?
Let's go for it.
Ringo.
Oh, Lorne Green. All right.
Yes.
All right.
Speaking songs, the talk songs or whatever. Big John.
All right.
One Tin Soldier.
Oh, you're willing to admit that. That's perfect.
You know what? I watched all three of those movies. I was so in love with that movie.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Here's one that you played, My Ding-a-ling.
Okay. Yeah, I assume you want the hit, which was Chuck Berry.
Probably.
Well, that's all you can have, because they got to be hits.
Oh, okay. Then I'll take that one.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. You can only add to the list if they're bona fide big hits.
Okay, well, this one you'll probably be really upset with. The Beatles, Dead Skunk.
No, the Beatles didn't do Dead Skunk. Loudon Wainwright III.
Not originally, but they did it.
The Beatles did Dead Skunk? We're not thinking of the same song, are we?
Dead Skunk in the middle of the road. There's a dead in the middle of the road.
No, Loudon Wainwright III. There, hang on. I'm going to go ahead and listen to the news and look to make sure I'm right. But it must be some album cut. That's very, very, very possible, I guess. But I don't think so. So hang on. Don't go away. And we'll find out right here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Ronnie James. The Miracles, My Baby Changed by the Weather, 1965. And that's actually from Going to a Go-Go, the Miracles album. And that was Wesley who requested that. And happy to play that. All right, now, Marianne, here's the deal. The Beatles, not only did the Beatles not cover Dead Skunk in the Middle of the Road, but they couldn't have because it came out initially by the author in 1972, and the Beatles were 2 years broken up. So, not possible.
Okay, I stand corrected. I should know better than to question you on
you can question me on anything, but on that one, it was just not plausible. But I wanted to check
either way,
it anyway.
I like that thought. I mean, I like that thought.
All right, so we'll make it for Loudon Wainwright III, and it got to number 31 nationally, so we'll count that.
Okay, next is Billy Don't Be a Hero.
Oh, you like that, do you? Okay.
Yeah. All right. Wildfire.
Yeah.
Well, you know me and horses.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it'd be like you liking a song about dogs.
No, would not like a song about dogs for the most part, but go on.
Okay. The last one... it was on an album. I don't know if it was a top hit. Places by the Beatles?
No. No, they got, the album cuts don't count.
Okay.
All right. Got to be hits.
It came to my mind because there's a really cute commercial on TV now with that instrumental of that song.
Uh-huh.
And it's three little old gray-haired ladies sitting on a bench watching these kids on their sleds. And the one lady runs home and comes back with an Amazon box. And it has little soft seat cushions in it, and they put it in their little toboggans, and they take off down the hill together. It's just really cute.
All right, I'm going to believe you. Good deal.
Okay.
Well, I've added your choices. Thank you.
Oh, and I really got a kick out of that song you played from Eduardo.
From Eduardo.
The jukebox played when I died or something.
Oh, yeah, right. The Playmates song, right.
Yeah,
that was on it, Play with the Playmates, and I've had that album since it came out in 1958, and I guess I never played the whole thing. I thought it was hilarious, yes.
That was pretty funny when you discovered that you had it.
Oh, yeah, well, it's a very famous album, like I say, not because it's the Playmates, but at that point in time, it was rare to have a one-hit wonder group have an album, and they did, so that was the deal. All right, thanks.
Okay, I'll let you go.
Good deal.
Have a good weekend, and I'll let you go get to James before the night is over.
Oh, I will. I will. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, no, that's a promise. We will absolutely get to James before the night is over. Mark and Aurora got some songs for me.
Yeah, I called this one, but now I have two.
Okay.
And I wanted to mention, for Marianne's sake, that the Beatles did do some animal songs, including Rocky Raccoon.
Yes, they did. All right. But they didn't do Dead
McCartney,
Skunk.
And McCartney wrote one about his dog called Martha, My Dear.
Yes.
Yeah, I like both of those songs. But the first song that I have in mind, I'm not ashamed that I like it, but I know that some listeners might even regard it as a turkey. It does sound kind of hokey if you don't hear how cute it is, but it's actually about a duck, and it's not Disco Duck. It is Rubber Ducky by Jim Henson.
You're not embarrassed to admit it, and that's the whole purpose of this list. The songs right. So I can't put that on that. So keep going.
I'm kind of not embarrassed to admit it.
Yeah.
The other one that I'm not embarrassed to admit to is Wildfire.
Well, you don't have, yeah, but I
the
can't.
The long version with the piano solo.
Yeah, swell, but I can't add it if you're not embarrassed by it. That's the purpose of the list.
Unfortunate.
The list is not about what your favorite songs are. The list is about those anomalies where you're saying, I don't want anybody to know I love this.
And I kind of feel that way a little bit about these songs, so you could put them down, but I don't usually, but occasionally I do.
All right. Well, very good. All right, thanks for calling. Appreciate it. All right. So
have a good weekend.
You too. Yeah, well, what we're really after, again, what makes it fun is, you know, not to find out what your favorite records are. I don't care either way. But those ones that were big hits and, you know, meanwhile, everybody's saying, ah, oh, nobody would like that song. And you're going, oh, God, I love it. All right, Leah and Marcus Hook, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Oh, pretty good. Our microwave gave up the ghost today, but other than that, we're
go out
okay.
And get a new one tomorrow.
No, I'm going to order one from Walmart tonight.
Okay, very good.
Have it delivered.
Okay, very good.
But I haven't called because I just sat down and thought about it, and I'm like, I'm not really embarrassed to say I like anything.
Well, then you don't get to vote. That's okay. That's good. That means
yeah.
Jan and Dallas felt the same way. That means you got a good, strong self-image, and you're willing to fess up to all the things that you secretly like, but you don't want anybody to know. So you don't have those.
I like Heartbeat. It's a love beat. Yeah. I like all those songs.
That's
you
fine.
Know, I love Neil Diamond
oh, God.
To death. I love everything he ever did, except that Red Wine song. I don't like that.
All right. So, right. Those wouldn't qualify because you're not embarrassed
right.
by them. So I get that. That's good.
I love ABBA. I love, you know, all those 70s schlock songs. I love them.
Okay.
So, you know, there's just nothing. I can't think of one thing that I'm embarrassed to say I like.
Good.
So,
well, if anything comes to mind, you let us know. But remember, you're in good company with all that because these were million sellers. So lots of people did love them. I just never knew any of them personally.
Well, you do now.
That's right. I do now.
Well, I wanted to talk about this. I just found out about this on Facebook, this American Music Fairness Act. And I was wondering what
news.
You thought about it.
Well, the first thing I'll tell you is I look at the Earth as having a giant pendulum, and it's very interesting to watch it swing. And if you go back to the 50s, my God, record companies couldn't pay disc jockeys enough money to play records. The idea of payola was nothing more than a sales commission. They would pay anything. They had money coming out the yin-yang. And now those same labels, the ones that are still around, are saying, you need to pay us for that. So it's the pendulum swinging, but let's take a little closer look at this.
Isn't this where the artists want to get paid for every time it's played on the radio?
Well, right. No, I understand that. But what I'm saying is you first have to put it in perspective to understand that initially anybody was willing to pay radio to play anything. All right.
Right.
So now, this is an outgrowth of something called Sound Exchange. Now, this is not BMI, CSAC, ASCAP, the performing rights societies that have been around forever. Radio does and always has paid them. And that's the writer and the publisher. But now Sound Exchange cropped up in the days of streaming. And every radio station that streams is already paying Sound Exchange because you can't stream without paying them. And that's what gives the artist and the label the money. Now, what they're saying is more than the stream, we want part of the revenues that the terrestrial stations have. And that's what this Fairness Act is about. All right.
The AM and FM stations.
Terrestrial. Right. And so, you know, the bottom line is, you know, my feeling on it is, well, if you want me to pay you for playing a record on my radio stations, that's fine. But don't you ever think I would break one. You're going to make it a hit long before I would play it. If you're costing me dollars, I'm not helping you break music. Screw you. Well, of course, they don't care as much about that anymore because radio is not necessarily the strongest purveyor of new music. I mean, that's arguable. We could say it is or it isn't. But the bottom line is a lot of people don't believe it. So they're saying, well, we don't need radio anymore to break our songs. They're no longer our marketing department, which that's the truth, really, through
the internet. Yeah.
Yeah. But until the last 10 years, the bottom line is if you wanted to know what a record label's promotion arm was, it was the radio station. No matter how they put it, they had to get that airplay.
Right.
So now they're, of course, they don't sell units. They get money from streaming and they want to include radio. Well, it's an interesting battle. There are people in Congress who don't want it to happen. There are people who do want it to happen. But again, I would advise any radio station that is forced to pay to never break another record. Wait till it's a hit somewhere else. Let them get their marketing in another way. But all that said, my personal gripe with it, particularly on my AM, is that I pay Sound Exchange for my stream on the AM, and I guarantee you the artists and the labels are not getting paid because they can't find them. I can't find them. Like I've said many times, you tell me where Shamal is, Shamal number one. You tell me who the Vitones were. Well, we don't know. So whatever would be attributed, they're not going to get any money. And of course, this is just a sample. You don't report every song you play in most cases. You're just like with BMI and ASCAP and CSAP. It's a collection, you know, it's a survey, if you will. It's not every song. But so I do mind that I have to pay for KJ only because I would love to pay the people that I'm really playing. You find Linda Griner. Actually, I can, but I bet she hasn't gotten any money lately. And on the list goes. So that's the deal. And so you've got some facets of Congress, like that dreaded Marsha Blackburn senator, Republican senator from Tennessee, who is all for it, of course, because that's her constituency. She's in Nashville. You know, I understand that.
Oh, okay.
You know, of course, she's the reason I don't like her. I hate her to another lifetime. I hate her. And the reason is because when EPB, the Electric Power Board in Chattanooga, has the world's best broadband. She went out of her way to make sure that they couldn't expand from their footprint because of Comcast and everybody else, Spectrum, who had franchises. Now, even if those franchises weren't offering anything, let alone the same deal, didn't matter. So, at that point in time, she became on my hall of shame forevermore, and I hope only bad things happen to her politically. Not saying that personally. Okay. I don't know the woman. Politically, I hope to hell she's voted out. But I don't know who's going to run against her, but that's the way I feel about that. Anyway, so that's the long and short of it. And you've got powerful allies on both sides of that aisle. Now, I will say I don't have a stake in it financially because the amount would be so very low for very small markets like where I own radio stations, so it's not going to cost me much anyway. But in terms of the idea of it, fine. I'll pay. Don't think I'm ever going to break a record. Ain't going to happen.
Well, they had like a pay rate thing on there, like an example of what it would be. And right. It's not where you pay the artists individually.
Well,
it's
none of them are. None of
like
them are.
You pay a yearly fee.
Yes, you pay Sound Exchange. Of course, that's the way it is with all of that. No one's paying the artist directly. Sound Exchanges, but I shudder to think how their model is done. But anyway, it's not new. It's been going on for a few years now.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I just discovered it, and I didn't know to think. You know, I didn't know whether it would be a good thing or a bad thing, and I just wanted to see what your opinion was.
Well, it depends how you look at it. Like I say, I can argue both sides of that, but I would say if it comes down, I don't think radio should be breaking new music. Let them do it somewhere else. You know?
Yeah, I can see your point.
Now, there's a lot more to say about it, but well outside the scope of this show. But anyhow, watch it. It's been a while. I don't expect any action anytime soon.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Bye. All right. So at the moment, it is time. The time has come. You've been waiting. I know you've been waiting. It's time for Walter's Perspective, sponsored by HearingHealthCenter.com.
Mama used to take me across her lap. She used to whip me with a strap when I was bad. I didn't know at the time being bad could lead to crime, but now I'm glad. 'Cause she kept me on the double. I stayed out of trouble, now I understand. When she said, boy, you got to give a heck, promise you'll always give respect to the other man. When I used to make fun of others, she said, no, not to your brothers, and that ain't all. When someone is feeling low, of the nicest things you know to make them feel tall. I'll never forget what Mama said when she kneeled down and prayed for the guy's hands. Put your arms around his neck, make him proud to give respect to the other man.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. It's Luther Ingram from 1970 on the Coco label, To the Other Man. He has an interesting career, of course, mostly known for that sweet soul that you'd hear late at night on The Quiet Storm and things like that. But amazingly, he was the first singer in 1966 to do I Spy for the FBI that a few months later Jamo Phillips made so popular. So there you have the deal with Luther Ingram. Was it Jamo Thomas? Well, anyway, Jamo somebody or other. 888-876-5593-8888-RALEIGH. Now, I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I hate it already, so to speak. Music on hold. Oh, my God. James in Oregon, welcome to WGN Radio. Have you left us, James? Oh, James left, and he had a great subject to music on hold. I, for the most part, detest it, because invariably they're going to play something that, you know, I mean, the only thing worse, of course, is the 19 voicemail menus you get to. Press 1 for this, 2 for that. Yeah, 7 to squawk like a chicken. And on it goes. But there's something about music on hold that just, is not my favorite thing. So I don't know where James was going with that, but maybe he'll call back, grace us with a call. He didn't. All right, but James from the first hour, call back at the beginning of the show. So before we get to Andrew and John and Valerie and Marianne, we're going to get to James on the south side. Thanks for waiting, and how's it going?
Oh, I'm doing fine. Okay, let's not have that happen again. But I'm hanging in here. Ankle's doing a little better.
Yay, all right.
I admit what part of what happened was I hadn't heard from in a while called, and I said, oh, better take this call.
Absolutely. No problem with that. So you have so many stories. Now, my first question, what I was going to ask you before, was you send so many stories. Do you actually read these all?
Quite a few of them, believe me. Okay, I end up basically almost falling asleep after about a few hours of this.
Oh, man.
And then sometimes, some of them, I can't get them to come up because either something goes wrong with phone or there's some other matter. And I'm like thinking, or they'll have some little film thing saying, oh, you got to click this cookie to get that. I'm like thinking, I'm going to have to click this to get to even to get to the story. And they want me to actually buy in on this before I even get a chance to even see if it's worth buying in on.
Well, we had a number of parents behaving badly, and I read about the Texas mother, 33 years old, pretending to be her 13-year-old child as to attending middle school for a day and recording the experience. Now, the jury, she demanded a jury trial, found her guilty of criminal trespass. But to me, what she's guilty of is embarrassing the hell out of the administration.
I'm like thinking... Okay, if they can't tell the difference between a 33-year-old and a 13-year-old, then Mr. Magoo should actually could easily be the home monitor, or maybe me.
Right, exactly. And she starts by looking at the camera and say, do I look like a seventh grader? And she walks in, she goes through the whole day and until the end of the day, and of course they prosecute her. And you know, I wasn't really clear on how a mother entering a child's school is criminally trespassing.
I'm not completely certain either, concerned, and I think she did this as like say, and the point, okay, about a security concern.
Well, right. No, that was absolutely why she did it. That was 100% why she did it. She wanted to prove that her child was not safe, that anyone could get into these schools, and even an adult could pass for a child and no one would notice. And she
did it, and of course, basically bruised somebody's ego.
Yeah, well, right. And so it'll be, somewhat of a suspended sentence, and she'll have to do some community service and six months of probation.
Continue.
No, I was going to say, so that was that was interesting to now know you can almost go to jail for embarrassing people. But we have a number of other stories. Like I say, people behaving badly. And we have a number of people who they really wonder about. The poor mother of two who collapses and dies after drinking 4 bottles of water in 20 minutes. Now, by the way, for most of us, we wouldn't collapse and die, but you could. And she did.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, either you were very thirsty.
No, well, she was. She felt very dehydrated. But bottom line is, if you are very dehydrated, you can't chug down 4 bottles of water in like 20 minutes and not expect a problem. And in this case, of course, her brain was swollen, and that was it. So it water toxicity is absolutely real. It doesn't usually happen. But what's interesting is how many people, and even in that story who were interviewed, who don't understand that it can and does happen. Of course, the very untoward story of the radio station in Sacramento, hold your wee for a wee, that, killed a listener in the process. But it happens. But I think most people don't realize that they can die from too much water.
Yeah. And unfortunately, tragic. In fact, there's a story there where, even like they say, like, let's say, like, a friend of mine was saying, like, when he said who works outside a lot during this, he does yard maintenance. He said he never drinks a lot of cold water. And even if it's real hot, and during the day, he always accepts a little. He said, you drink a lot, you're basically asking for trouble.
Well, and now hopefully anybody listening knows, yes, you can die from too much water. We also know that you can die from the various stupid things you do to look better. And, I remember decades ago in the 60s, there was a comedian, Toti Fields, and she wanted to have a facelift for her daughter's wedding. And her doctors advised against it because she was diabetic and all sorts of problems would ensue. Well, the bottom line is she lost a leg. And I remember watching her on television afterward, but she said, doesn't my face look great? Well, no, actually. Well, here we have a 56-year-old woman who wanted to be thin for her daughter's wedding. So she took a lot of Ozempic, which is certainly in the news, both good and bad lately. Bottom line, she died.
Yeah, and there's some other stories that if you go even looking for, and there's a whole bunch of Ozempic and a bunch of a horror story.
Oh yeah, a lot of this, it's story after story of, sadly, what these people died of is stupidity.
Yeah, because at some point you do have to at least say, first off, getting too thin, but there's you shouldn't view fat as your enemy completely. I mean, sure, there's a way of saying too much is one thing, but also there's a reason fat is in certain parts of your body for a reason.
Right. Well, exactly.
Okay, your organs, you would not want certain organs rubbing against each other without some sort of lube or cushion between them.
And oh, absolutely, but I don't even want to think about that. But, oh, God.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Then we have a woman who has filed $1 million lawsuit against an apartment complex.
Yep.
And that was interesting because... it's based on allegations. And what she's saying is there was a shooting and it was a result of inadequate security. And so apparently the area is known for its history of violent crime. And the complaint says that the defendants, which I guess are the owners or the managers of the apartment complex, didn't provide adequate security. And that's where you wonder, what exactly could they have done?
You know? Yeah, I mean, would you want to basically vigilantes?
Well, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine, you know, and I think we all like to think we can prophylactically handle things and prevent them in advance. But unfortunately, not true. So
Or do they want to basically have genetic copies of the Dirty Dozen or the Magnificent Seven? Take your pick.
So,
although of course you would be doing a double copies of Charles Bronson, not too bad a choice. But you know, actually, he took Jill Ireland with him to the grave. She was inside his cane. It was in his car.
So yeah,
cremated remains were in the cane.
Yep. And now, of course, you have the stories, and we've heard a lot of them lately, of Wells Fargo and money missing. But here's a case where a man north of Atlanta claimed that $3,700 was transferred into a payment that he never authorized, had nothing to do with. And bottom line is he apparently missed the deadline for informing the bank. And they said, you've got to report the problem within a 24-hour time frame. Well, how many people know what happened to their bank account in a 24-hour time frame? It'd be one thing if you're saying, you know, a few weeks or something like that. But who looks at their bank account every, you know, 20 minutes or what have you?
You'd have to be basically, let's put it this way. Can we say, that sort of person who's basically obsessive compulsive, basically?
Yeah,
that's what you'd have to be. You almost have to be like, hold me, grab me, feel, and all basically just completely always like pretty much, I got a dial. Basically, I'm always on the phone to him. That's how you would almost have to be. And that, to me, that sounds like you basically, at some point, you basically would be pretty much saying, I'm having this terror in my skin, my skin is still on.
Yeah, well, right. Well, you know, here you are. And, of course, you know, the idea that you've got to report it in 24 hours. And the bank ultimately just closed all his accounts and said, well, you know, basically that he's lying, which I'm sure there'll be a follow-up on that at some point. Now, we also have lottery players who apparently have decided not to claim between $100,000 and $1.2 million. These tickets are about to expire. So,
yeah,
and this is the Illinois lottery.
And yeah, I'm like thinking, hey, if I was somebody who thought maybe I would go looking through that dresser drawer
right
one
about
more
now.
Time.
Right, and you do have time where you can claim it, of course. But looking at this historically, you've got states like Iowa in 2022. They report that 1.5 million in lottery prizes went unclaimed. A $44 million lotto prize in Florida apparently has been idle for over 6 months. It hasn't expired yet, but the Florida Lottery is urging somebody to come forward for this. $44 million, you know, and I understand you don't necessarily want to claim your ticket if you have to give your name and all that kind of stuff. But traditionally, well, like in Florida, you got 180 days to step up to let them know that you've got that ticket. So in the case of this person, it expires at the end of the month next month, December 31st. So, yeah, I guess check your underwear drawer or whatever.
Yes, okay. Yeah. And, hey, at least you can figure, hey, I got, okay, you can pretty much do your own version of 42nd Street. I'm in the money.
Yep, yep. So a bunch of good stories as always. A lot of them, obviously not the scope of this show. But one headline I liked, we don't have to discuss the details, but the Supreme Court seeks a middle path between following the law and blowing up the government. Now, there's a story for you. All right, James, thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, and I do have one Scotty song request.
Okay, what you got?
Okay, the Orioles are here, okay, I heard you crying in the chapel.
Okay, you got it. We'll do it.
Okay.
All right, thanks,
okay.
Appreciate
it. Take care.
You too,
have a nice weekend.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, the group of all bird groups, the Orioles, you betcha. All right, so we'll get to some of your votes and your confessions, I should say. Oh, James called back about music on hold. I can't wait to hear about this coming up on WGN Radio.
You saw me crying in the chapel. The tears I shed were tears of joy. I know the meaning of contentment. I am happy with the just a plain and simple chapel where all good people go to pray. I prayed the Lord that I'll grow strong as I live from day to day.
You didn't really think it was by Elvis originally, did you? Right, the Orioles crying in the chapel, 1953 on Jubilee. And that is, of course, for the late Scotty who loved it, and for James who requested it. And we'll find out what's going on in the world at large and then get back to you right after this on WGN Radio.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. The Corsairs, of course, North Carolina's own. Smoky Places, a medley of their hit on the Tough label. It was Abner Spector's New York label in 1961. And I played it because it would have been one of the Uzel brothers, I think, 80-something birthday. Now, I had him here before. Oh, James Uzel, that's who it was. James Lee Uzel, 1937, would have turned 86 tomorrow. And sadly died in 2014. And his brother, Jay Uzel, died in 2009. Yeah. And their dad, who was in on the action, Moses Uzel Sr., died in 2013, made it to 80. All right, so Smoky Places was a nice tidbit to leave us with if you have to go. So 888-876-5593. 8888 Raleigh. And yeah, we are voting on your guilty pleasures, and it's a cumulative poll. So if you hear somebody else admit that they absolutely love something they otherwise would rather keep hidden, yeah, that little guilty pleasure, and you say, yeah, that's for me too, well then by all means second that, because it will be cumulative. But James called back, music on hold. Oh man, see, that there's a certain hell. All right, so James, what about it?
Hey, yeah, Leah perked my interest there when you was talking about that Fairness Act and mm-hmm. how yeah. radio stations are wanting to get paid
No. The radio stations are not wanting to get paid. It is the record labels that are wanting to get paid.
Oh,
and
okay.
The artists. No.
Okay, I got it. Okay, well, but back in the day, and I'm sure they still do it. We used to do music on hold on radio on phone systems, you know, and we used to hook up transistor radios or whatever to them, and mm-hmm. And there was even a company called Sandbar that made a card that fit right mm-hmm. in the what they call the 400 slot mm-hmm. on a key telephone system mm-hmm. that was a FM tuner, and we used to put these things in, and then somewhere around the early 80s, I guess it would be. The company, at least the Bell system did, they start telling us we couldn't do that anymore.
Right.
Because of some kind of violation of the law.
It violates, that would have been at the time ASCAP and BMI. It violates music rights. And it's a pretty arcane thing. And remember, ASCAP, BMI, CSEX, the Performing Rights Societies, they represent publishers and writers, not artists or record labels. So it's a different thing.
Yeah.
But, and they always have. You know, we're going back 100 years easily for ASCAP and not nearly as long for BMI, but over 70. In maybe 80 now. In any event, the deal is that there are all sorts of restrictions. Like, for instance, if you have a business and you have a radio sitting there by your cash register and you're listening to it, there's no performing rights fees for that. However, if that same business takes that radio station and pipes it overhead on the speakers to go throughout the out the business, well, now you have to pay for that. And so that's always been the case. So I'm sure at some point the Performing Rights Societies got to Bell or whomever and said, hey, you know, you better police this or we're coming after you.
Yeah. Well, I remember what they started doing is selling a system by, they call it Magic on Hold, which played a generic tune.
Right, right.
And then you, the customer, could order from Magic on Hold mm-hmm.
custom messages. Yeah, they're still around. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah
absolutely. Yeah. And so you could have any messages you want on there, you know, like whatever, you know, whatever sale that you were hawking or whatever, you could do that.
And they were doing stuff like Muzak did or whatever.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Yeah, Muzak was twisting the songs around a little bit.
Well,
it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, it again was a service, much like a lot of that stuff back then, where they were basically trying to and successfully getting around certain copyright restrictions. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was interested in that because I just remember that was. I mean, we could put the music on hold device out there for the customer to. Mm-hmm. connect to if they wanted to. In fact, most phone systems had a music on hold port.
Right.
But we weren't allowed to any longer to hook anything up. Now, if the customer wanted to hook a radio up, that was on them, I guess. But,
mm-hmm. but
and supposedly there were people that would call in and see if they got put on hold, if they were hearing a radio station or something like that and then they would report to business, you know.
Right. There absolutely, and there were people who were paid by the Performing Rights Societies to find violators, because obviously they couldn't go to every town and every situation. So of course. And ultimately, I think I read a while ago where, and it was much more recent because I think Sound Exchange was involved, because Muzak still exists. And apparently they missed a deadline of something, and now they have to pay market rate royalties on stuff. So I'm not sure how that went, because I don't keep up with that anymore. But music on hold, if they're playing copyrighted music, yep, they would need to, in fact, pay the Performing Rights Societies. Now, I assume Sound Exchange has gotten in the mix too, and Sound Exchange covers the record label and the artist.
Yeah, so if I had a store and I wanted to play my CDs, I would have to pay one of these companies.
Well, if you played them on the speakers overhead for everybody in the store to listen to, if you just had if you had a little CD player by your cash register and were just listening to yourself, no, you don't have to pay.
Yeah, okay. But that would be the same as if I put it on music on hold, though.
Yeah,
right. The same as putting a speaker overhead.
Right, absolutely. You put it in the overhead speakers. And I've told this story before, but one of my great frustrations, I was in a little restaurant, pizza joint somewhere many years ago, and they had some piped in music, I don't know what, and there was a song came on, which was an Obscure Whispers record on Dory. Well, you can imagine that my ears perked up, and I'm like, I want to know what the service is, right? And so, of course, I'm not trying to get these folks in trouble or anything, but I went up and I said, I'd like to know what service you're using. And the owner fled out the back door, got in his car, and drove away. And all I cared about is just tell me who's playing this because I want to hear more. And, they were so afraid that I was from either BMI or CSEC or one of those that the guy just fled.
Yeah.
So.
The music police, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and see, the people who turn other entities in, they get a percentage. They get some money. You know, they're paid. So there's no shortage of people who won't do that. But so.
We shouldn't say that over the radio tonight, then.
Well, no, come on. I mean, I don't think anybody who has the proclivities to do that knows it about her already. I'm not getting anybody else in that. But the bottom line to you will have to pay rights. Now, again, where Sound Exchange comes into the mix, you'd probably have to deal with somebody who knows more of the current reality.
Yeah, is that the same as a radio, as a music source, like a CD player and a radio, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter what the source is. But, you know, I mean, and now the exemption, like we were talking about with the act that Leah had brought up, the exemption right now is terrestrial stations don't have to pay Sound Exchange. They do pay ASCAP, BMI, CSEC, you know that. But but they don't have to pay Sound Exchange. And there are those who would like to change that.
Okay. All right. Well, I was just wondering why. I mean, this is a long time ago. So I always wondered why they stopped it. I mean, I'm sure people still do it, but, I just thought it was them forcing them into buying a source from Magic on Hold or something like that. But
no, it's onhold.com. You can take a look. They still are offering a lot. In the way of on hold and voice greetings and messages and all that. So you can do that, but I'm sure that they certainly pay the rights or certainly make it known what has to be paid. I'm sure they're not getting in the middle of this.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I want to ask you, have you heard of a singer called Jason Crabb? He's part of the Crabb family. I think they're out of Indiana, big gospel family.
No, I don't.
Yeah, he's been on Grand Ole Opry a few times, and he's a very powerful singer. Man, he feels you can just feel that if you were in that auditorium, you could just hear it because he's very powerful coming over radio. You know?
Oh. Yeah, no, I don't.
You just listen to him one time.
All right.
I'm not sure it's some music that you would put as a bumper or something like that.
Right, but I'll check him out. I'll look.
I heard him when I heard that Crying in the Chapel, and I know it wasn't Elvis singing that, but I just wonder what this Jason Crabb would sound like singing that song.
I don't know, but I'll look for him. All right, thanks.
Okay.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Talk to you later. Bye.
Yes. So that's a whole industry, the on-hold industry, and they have associations like the On-Hold Messaging Association and the Experience Marketing Association. So they have that kind of stuff. So sure, for anybody who is interfacing with the public regularly. Oh, there was one years ago. I had to call a DME, a durable medical, for supplies, and on their on-hold, they had, some mellifluous voice talking about, their fine service and whatever. But in the middle of it, the voiceover gal did a pickup, meaning, ignore that, pick it up here. And of course, you're supposed to edit that out. And so it will sound as one flowing message. Well, I'll never forget it because I'd call in and every time I'd hear this, and in the middle of it, she goes, pick up. And repeats the last line. I think, come on, didn't somebody listen to this? And the answer was no. And I'll have to check it. I have it now in probably a year or so, but every year or two I'll check it and say, is that still on there? And it was the last time I checked. So just absolutely amazing. 888-876-5593. We got John in Oak Lawn. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello. Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
Well, good. Raleigh, you were talking about AM radio before, I think.
Okay.
Let me tell you, as an old soldier, the importance of the AM radio, we lived by that in the field, in the jungles. I was in the Army 23 years.
Uh-huh.
People like you kept us going.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. The music you played, the news you gave us over the airwaves, Armed Forces Network, everywhere, all over the United States. Thank you.
Oh, our pleasure. And of course, AFRN has a very big installation in Hollywood, and a lot of the top 40 jocks back in the day would record shows specifically for Armed Forces Radio Network. And it was tremendous. And so, yeah, it was all of our collective pleasure to do that. Of course, AFRN was not only AM, it was FM as well, and whatever medium, depending upon the country involved. So you betcha. But did you grow up?
We had the old transistor radios back in the day, and we would gather on the log at night and listen to what we could pick up.
Right.
And I thank all you radio people from the bottom of my heart, because I'll tell you what, you all kept us going.
Oh, our pleasure. And I agree with you about DXing at night. That's something that is only possible with AM because of the way it propagates. You can't do that with FM. But late at night, listening to those distant signals, nothing like it. It was just great.
Right. We could pick up Chicago radio stations in southern Louisiana.
Sure.
At Fort Polk. Yeah,
sure.
There is a bell.
Right, at night. And, of course, Chicago had no shortage of 50,000-watt stations, WGN, of course, but also WLS and WCFL. And you had a number of 50,000-watt stations that got around WMAQ very well. So yeah, absolutely, that's true.
But, Raleigh, I just want to tell you thank you for all of us.
Well,
through the generations, all of us soldiers, thank you for what you guys do. And keeping us entertained and informed from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much.
Well, and thank you for everything you did to keep us safe. Much appreciated.
Yep, I do it all again. But I gotta tell you something. You know, I grew up at 47th and Cicero over on the southwest side, and we were into Isaac Hayes soundtrack.
Sure.
And the stylistics and Crystal Blue Persuasion.
Yeah.
That was our makeout song in the basement.
Ah, Tommy James and the Shondells. Yeah.
Yeah. And what you see is what you get.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just My Imagination and anything by the Supremes.
Oh, great. Great. Well, you were in a good place for soul radio because there was no shortage of it in Chicago.
Right. And I appreciate that you're talking to me tonight, and I enjoy your show, and thank you again so much for what you do.
Well, thank you, and I hope to hear from you again. Thanks, John.
Yeah, we'll keep on doing it.
All right, good deal. All right. So we will keep on keeping on, and I'm going to try to get everybody's votes before the night is out, right after this on WGN Radio. Raleigh James, one of my all-time favorite records, actually. Don Covey, Mercy, Mercy, 1964 on Rosemark. And one of the things I like most about it is that great guitar work, and that's no other than Jimi Hendrix, who would have turned 81 this week, born in Seattle in 1942, sadly died in London in 1970. So, yeah, but fine, fine guitar player. All right, so I got a couple minutes, and I think I can take you to the top of the hour. I'm going to try anyway. And we'll see what your votes are. So we got Andrew in Chicago adding to the list. Okay, fess up. What is it?
First of all, did you get my email?
I don't know. I got far too many today. I haven't looked at them.
Okay, Black and White, Three Dog Night.
Okay.
Ordinary People.
Okay.
And Here It Comes, big one. Coca Cabana.
Oh, okay, sure. And you know, I like that song, actually.
I mean, I hate the lyrics, I like the melody.
Oh, I just thought it was a cute little record all the way around. So, yeah, Coca Cabana, Barry Manilow.
But make sure you find it. Can I tell you what my email is so you can look for it?
Well, you probably don't want to do that on the air, but I'll put you on hold and let you tell John. We don't want to tell the world. So don't go away. Stay right where you are. All right. So, yeah, I can't imagine what would happen if we start publicizing email addresses. It won't be pretty. So we'll hold on for Andrew, and he can tell John what his email address is, and I will look for it. In the meantime, we've got Valerie in Warrenville, who is the perennial voter. All right. What are you adding to the list today?
A little bit of this and a little bit of that, my dear.
All right, I'm ready.
Okay. I'm seconding Billy, Don't Be a Hero.
Okay.
Let's see. We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
Okay.
You Take My Breath Away by Rex Smith.
Oh, God, you like that? All right, that's the spirit. All right.
Yeah. I admitted I watched the original movie.
I didn't know there was a movie.
Not the fact that I was over the moon over Rex.
Oh, okay.
Sealed with a Kiss by Gary Lewis and the Playboys.
Not the Brian Hyland original, huh?
I'd never heard it.
Oh.
This was
okay.
My
Well, all right, we'll do it.
Eleanor Rigby.
Okay.
Two out of three ain't bad.
Oh, okay.
That was the Meatloaf original, right?
Yes, it was.
Mm-hmm. I like most of his stuff.
All
I
right.
His stuff. There's a few of them that I like keep private. Ooh, Wildfire.
Wildfire, another Wildfire. All right.
Yeah. That was my guilty one. That was that one.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I recorded it off the radio and almost wore out the tape.
Oh, man. All right. Well, see, that's exactly what we're looking for. Those type of true confessions. That qualifies.
Yeah. And then Disco Duck.
You liked that?
Guilty pleasure.
Okay, all right. I'm writing.
Yeah.
All right.
Beth by Kiss.
Oh, all right. Okay.
Kiss fan, and that was the only one that I liked.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, you've ended the show.
Okay.
All right, talk to you next week. Thanks.
Yep, okay.
All
right. You enjoyed it again.
All right, and apologies to Marianne. We didn't get her joke, but see, that's why we have next week. Tomorrow's a replay of trivia. I don't know from what week. It won't be from this week, obviously, because the show is abbreviated. Now, next Monday, there is a full trivia show, all three big hours, and the straggler from last week remains, since we couldn't really do anything with it this week. So we'll pick it up. We got two stragglers, actually. So until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your calls. But above all, I thank you. Man, couldn't do it without you. Appreciate the calls. Makes my job much easier, and I like easier. I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.